If you think that passive income means you make sales in your sleep, then you've just got the definition wrong. Every single entrepreneur you will ever meet will tell you that entrepreneurship is one of the hardest things that they've ever done and one of the fiercest battles they've ever fought. And there's glory in that.
I'm telling you guys, I'm a marketer with a lot of years of experience. The hardest thing to sell was a low ticket product. I've seen hundreds of ads accounts, businesses. I've coached over 600 businesses. The hardest business to run is a low ticket business. It requires the greatest skill in marketing. Today we're talking about unpopular opinions in business that people don't want to hear. A bit of a fiery one today. Steph, how are you feeling?
We love the spice, don't we? We love getting into a bit of spicy topics.
We love the spice. So what we're going to cover today, guys, is passive income. Basically, it's a fantasy. The reality of hard work, the skill gap that can slow your income down. We're going to talk about mindset blocks and then personal chaos that may affect the stability of your business. A lot of unfounded opinions today. If you get triggered, good. Let us know.
Yeah. If you get triggered, also, you know, maybe there's some truth to it. Maybe. That's usually what my triggers indicate.
What's your personal update?
Personal update is I had a pretty cool session with a social media, actually, I wouldn't even say he's like a social media expert. I think he's more of a like videography storytelling expert. And he reminded me of something that, like, honestly, you know, oftentimes like you hear things and you have to be reminded many times of a truth that is, you know, this is not going to blow anyone's mind.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
But document more than you create as the concept.
Wow.
I know.
Revolutionary.
Who has said that before? Literally every guru on the internet would tell you to document more than you create. And what that means for anyone who hasn't heard that is that you should be showing the things that you do behind the scenes or showing, like, documenting your life and using that for creation of content. I think that the reason that it never really landed for me before was because I thought it just meant like document what I do every day, like cooking lunch. And I just, you know, like, I don't know.
It's the same thing every
day. Playing with the dogs. Yeah, it's like burrito bowl, in case you were wondering. I just cook different variations of burrito bowl. And so I thought that's not going to be a very exciting document, you know. So I've really kind of avoided the document frame of content that I create. But recently, well, actually, you actually distilled it in a way that I finally understood. Document meant...
I had no idea I did this, by the way.
Yeah, but document meant like show people you doing what you're best at.
Yeah.
Show people you doing your thing. And I was like, well, coaching is my thing, but how do I show people? Like, do I put a coaching call on the internet? Like, yeah, like, sure. But, you know, it feels like messy and like a minefield.
Bit boring.
It's a bit boring. I don't really want to see me coach, right? And then you put up just a really short 7-second clip of a presentation that you ran on ads.
Yeah.
And it was so good. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have so...
I thought it was lame as fuck.
Okay, so I was so impressed.
Yeah.
And I thought, I mean, who knows, this piece of content may bomb. So,
you guys listening to this right now, you'd be like, that fucking sucks.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah. No, but I put up a snapshot of one of my presentations that I'm running. And it feels like a really easy way. Look, it's not going to go viral.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's not meant to.
It's not meant to. But someone who sits down and they actually watch that is going to be like, ah, oh, damn, she knows her shit.
Mm.
And that's really what, not just people I want people to experience when they follow my page, but anyone listening. That's what you want people to realize, is that you're not just like good at sharing information. You're not just good at distilling information on the internet. You're not just, you know, attractive or a guru online. You want to show them that you're actually really knowledgeable and good at what you do. And you want to show yourself in your genius zone, which can be quite hard to find. So thanks to you and, you know, really feeling really grateful that we got to this point now.
Tell the story about all the knowledgeable posts that you write and the comments you get underneath.
Yeah, it's so frustrating.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, so I will spend literally hours putting a piece of content together that is super informative, like a really in-depth breakdown of a webinar or a function or something that I'm teaching so that you guys could have mad value and come on my page and be like, holy crap, this is so valuable. Imagine what she teaches inside her container. But what mostly I get met with when I put all this effort into all these posts is comments being like, woo, babe, or wow, you're so pretty, or wow, you're so beautiful, or beautiful post, and that's it. And it is frustrating. I get very frustrated about this.
Yeah,
because I oftentimes feel like...
At least you get comment.
I mean, just a couple of fire emojis. Yeah. But I do get frustrated that sometimes my intelligence, well, what I like to perceive as my intelligence.
Yeah, perceived.
My perceived intelligence is being overlooked because I have blonde hair or something or, you know, a nice outfit on. It's quite frustrating.
So if you guys see Steph's post, make sure you actually read it and don't say you look pretty.
Just say
what if they said you look ugly?
No, they should just be like, they hit blocked and deleted. you are so smart. That would be super helpful. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. That's the affirmation that you need.
All right. Your turn.
My personal update. We've expanded the team. As you guys know, we're going for the mill a month and you can't do that alone. And I didn't realize how much we were doing until we hired a team to take some of the load off, which has been great. And we've actually managed to hire a lot of like really good people and A players. And guys, I can't even tell you like how relieving it is when you have great people on the team. Me saying this to you right now, you might not have actually experienced someone working for you that's got like, you know, real batteries included totally. And can like do whatever you want them to do without like much help or guidance. And yeah, we've hired a bunch of them and it's been refreshing. Let me tell you like the level here. It's like you can go and be like, here's the problem. Go and create a reoccurring solution and I don't want to know about it. Just go and execute and it gets done. And like that level of team member previously hasn't been accessible to us.
Yeah. And I think, honestly, it's probably come down to us just like repeatedly fucking up hires over and over again, like learning the process of finding the good gems. But we've become better leaders and better operators and we've attracted better quality people. But yeah, it's been so nice to be a little bit more hands off the wheel. It's been pretty awesome.
Yeah. All right, guys, we're going to get into these unpopular opinions. The first one is there's no such thing as a passive business that makes you money while you do nothing. Extremely popular in our niche, Steph, is the thought that people can build a passive income, that basically they just sit on their hands, drink cocktails on a beach in Thailand, and they're just collecting cash. I don't know something further from the truth. Maybe should I go into the FTC thing?
Love feeding it, yes.
Yeah, so there's this branch of American government called FTC. Actually, I could have completely butchering that. Basically, they're like
the- might be the FDC.
FTC. Anyway, they're basically the bullshit police on like internet marketing. And there's nothing they hate more than people saying that they create passive income by doing fuck all. It's like one of the things they go after most. Steph, why do you think it's- what is passive income like for you and what do you think that the consumer thinks it is and why is it bullshit?
It's bullshit because it's not true. And if it was true, then you would know someone who was living off a passive income business, but every single person that's listening to this podcast will know not a single person that is living off of a passive income business because there is no such thing. And I think that eventually, like to actually have true passive income, the definition is that you must do little to no work for the money to come in.
Yeah.
Now, the way that passive income businesses are often set up is through 5 to 10 years of a lot of effort to get to a point where you have a team and you have people in place and you know your marketing and you have systems and you have all this stuff set up and it can be a little bit more hands off, right? But even then, I don't know anybody that is running really a passive income business. If you think that passive income means you make sales in your sleep, then you've just got the definition wrong. Like that's just good marketing and sales processes. Yeah. But there's nothing passive about that. No. Like you will still have to work for that income, whether you have to work on the marketing and the sales to get that thing to make you the sale while you sleep, or whether you have to actually deliver after you make the sale, there's nothing passive about it. And so it frustrates me that it's all over the internet. And going back to the FTC thing, the reason that the FTC, and like just to be really clear, guys, like if you get looked into by the FTC, that's when the SEC gets involved and they will try and take you down and they will fine your business for being non-compliant and basically saying like you are putting stuff on the internet that is lying to people about the real results that it can get.
Yep.
So anybody that's sitting there on the internet being like passive income, they are literally, it's like actually illegal to be able to say that because it's not true. And so it annoys me that people are perpetuating this story when every single entrepreneur you will ever meet will tell you that entrepreneurship is one of the hardest things that they've ever done and one of the fiercest battles they've ever fought. And there's glory in that. And it's amazing. It sort of annoys me that it's perceived as being something that should be easy.
Yeah. I had the ultimate like kick in the gut quote years ago. I had this in the fitness industry. Actually, like an old coach of mine said it to me. And he said, Tim, the current state of how you look, how strong you are, how much is in your bank account is a direct reflection of the work and the effort that you've put into getting that.
Mm.
And I was like, fuck, that kind of hit me. And it was like a kick to the nuts. And I just think like generally like you can't get results or money in business. You can't get anything passive without doing the work. Like it's literally like it's the laws of physics, like that or the universe. It doesn't make sense.
Easy
like
come,
no
easy
one's
go.
Just going to fucking pay you like money for nothing.
Yes.
That's just not even how it works.
Totally. Why do you think that people do cling to this idea of passive income instead of growing a real business? And when I say real business, I don't mean like derogatory, but like why do people love this concept so much?
Humans are wired to always look for the easiest way to do anything. So they think there is an easier way of doing business, which leads us into point two, which we'll get into in a minute. But like honestly, guys, there's literally no easy way. And I think like passive income sometimes gets associated with low ticket.
Mm-hmm.
So people think like low ticket, I'm going to sell something low ticket and then I'm going to make a bunch of money. I'm telling you guys, I'm a marketer with a lot of years of experience. The hardest thing to sell was a low ticket product. Like I'm talking the hardest thing. I've seen hundreds of ads accounts, businesses. I've coached over 600 businesses. The hardest business to run is a low ticket business. Mm-hmm. It requires the greatest skill in marketing. Mm-hmm. And people just think if you sell something low ticket, it's fucking easy and everyone's going to buy it. That is so far from the truth.
In our experience, it is just as hard to sell something for $27 as it is to sell something for $2,700 or $27,000.
Yeah.
It's just that you make a hell of a lot of money on the upper end.
Steph, just to close this one out, what would you say to someone who is like looking for a passive business or like a passive business idea? Like what would you say to them?
I think that you should invest in stocks and shares.
Yeah.
Like, and again, and just to be really clear, because like that will make you money slowly over time, passively, right? You know, provided it always goes up. But like, let's say you invested in a really stable share exchange and you were in the, you know, S&P 500 or whatever, and it was really stable. You can expect 8% growth year on year. It's fairly standardized and pretty average for that particular fund. And in order to invest in that, you need to have made the money first. So there is a hard work element that needs to be created in order for you to even have the income to make passive income. And that's just exactly the same as anything in business. Like you have to work hard before you have the money to make passive money. And so anything that you hear that is passive is not passive until it becomes passive, which requires hard work. Which leads us into point two today. So unpopular opinion number two is that business is hard. That's okay. That's the truth of it. But hard doesn't mean wrong. And I really loved this point that Tim had written down for this podcast today. It was like, hard doesn't mean wrong. I think a lot of people, when they get into entrepreneurship and they do find it hard and they do hit their first wall or their first roadblock and they're like, oh my God, and they burn out or they have someone reject them and it hurts and it's painful, they immediately think, oh, this mustn't be the right path because it shouldn't be this hard. If you're listening to this episode right now, how many times have you thought to yourself, it shouldn't be this hard? Tim, how many times have we said it to each other?
Like daily.
It shouldn't be this hard. But guess what? It is. Welcome to the circus.
Used to it, you know?
Yeah, 100%. But hard doesn't mean wrong. Hard means you're learning. But we are so literally hardwired to look for ease, to look for this magical alignment that everything that comes to us should be easy. And if it's not easy to come, then, you know, we're not on the right path. Like that is just so bullshit. Like nothing worth having comes easy. It's literally because you're putting in the discipline, effort, and hard work that you're proud of what you have on the other side. And if you don't have the initial sacrifice of time, blood, energy, effort, sweat, tears, mental breakdowns, you will never appreciate just how freaking good the thing is, because anything that you have, it's come easily, you don't appreciate it until it's gone.
Let's get into a story on this. We had a client come to us last week and she ran a webinar and she was like, that was super hard. And in my head, I was like, no shit. Of course, it's super hard to run a webinar and get 30 calls booked and then make $60,000 on the back of it. $60,000 for everyone listening is what most people make in a year. And people are saying, oh, it's super hard to run a webinar. No shit.
Yes.
Because like, of course, it's hard to make $60,000 fucking dollars
in a week.
In a week after a webinar, like it, that's no way that's going to be easy. And the quote that comes to me here is: "Easy choices, hard life. Hard choices, easy life." So if things are always easy in business, you're never really going to get anywhere. But the hard things are the things that obviously create a crank in business. Steph, why do you think people are super scared of hard work and say they want big goals, but their actions say otherwise?
I don't know why. Like, I cannot relate, to be completely honest with you.
I don't get it.
I don't fully relate. And so you might, if you're listening to this podcast, you might think like, God, these guys are crazy. Like, I fully can't relate to not loving a challenge. Like, I've always loved a challenge.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoy going to the gym and doing these hardcore workouts and I'll complain all the way there and then I'll do it and I'll love it, you know? And I'll be like, oh my God, we should do that all the time. This is awesome. And I think that I never feel more proud than when I do shit that has been so hard that I didn't believe that I could do. And the only reason I'm in entrepreneurship is because like I want to enjoy what I do for work. I want to enjoy the way that we make money. Mm. I want to impact a lot of people. And if that's hard, then yeah, sure. Because you, like, the other version of hard is sitting in a fucking day job for the next 40 years in a cubicle at Aldi in the back ass end of industrial Perth asking for annual leave. Like, that ain't it. Like, so that's hard, and this is hard, but this is more fun, and this is more rewarding, and this is more enjoyable. And I think that anybody who's avoiding the hard work of entrepreneurship or the hard work of business, you can go and choose the other hard. Like, you only have two roads. It's like, have a job or run your company. And either one of those things is going to be hard work. Just one is harder right now, and one is just harder. It's like less hard, but hard, like longer term, like for 40 years while you're trapped in that thing.
Yeah.
Why do you think people expect business to be smooth from day one?
I think people expect business to be smooth from day one because they've seen some people on Instagram talk about how it gets to be easy, and it can be easy. And Steph, you're probably guilty of saying that as well. Super common in the female online world. Like, everyone proliferates it. Usually most people that proliferate these bullshit statements are broke, and they don't have a lot of resources, and they haven't had a lot of impact, because if you really did, it wouldn't have been easy to get there, and it doesn't get to be easy. There's no part of this that gets to be easy at all. So
I can guarantee you that anybody that is saying that business gets to be easy, or that you can have passive income, or that you can do it working just X amount of hours per day, I can guarantee you they got something to sell you.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you that they have something to sell you.
Yeah.
Because anybody, like, if you look at, and I always use this as an example, which is always first in my mind, but Alex Olmosi, he's like, I have nothing to sell you. And guess what? Business is fucking hard.
Yeah.
He's got nothing to sell you. He's not going to sell you, you know, this pipe dream, because it's the hardest thing
books.
Ever.
He'll sell you 1,000 books.
He will sell you 1,000 books, and you will have to send them to friends for perpetuity, for endless amounts of time.
Yeah.
But they want you to believe it so that you buy their product.
Yeah.
That's the only reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Number three on the unpopular opinions, the reason you haven't reached your next level of income is because you lack the skills to get there.
No.
Which, you know, it may come across offensive to some. Others, you guys might be like, no shit. I want to lead this up with a story of a client of ours. So we teach ads in Success School. A big portion of paid ads is just having the skills to understand what the fuck is going on, really. Like, you need to know how to read the data, the landing pages, like creative, all the types of stuff. So she kept coming back, and she just wasn't getting any better with ads. And then I said to her, I was like, I'm going to be honest, insert name, I'm not going to say whose name this was, you're just really lacking the skills here, and I need you to go and study this. Like, there is so much to this. Like, yes, ads can be simple. Yes, they can work for you. Yes, you can be profitable, but you have to have a base understanding of it. And I liken it to, like, getting in an F1 car doing 200 Ks an hour with no experience in it. Obviously, you're going to fucking suck, but there is a skills component to business that if you haven't mastered it, and it's not just ads, it's organic content, it's hiring, it's team, it's management, it's leadership, it's email marketing, it's all the things. There is a level of skill that you have to have with sales. And a lot of people just don't have that. So, like, more of a reflection point listening to me talk right now, guys, I just really want you to ask yourself, like, am I reaching the next level in my success? And what is the skills, or what are the skills that I'm lacking to get there? Because that's usually going to be the thing. That's going to be the bottleneck. That's going to be the unlock for you. And, you know, the more I've learned and the better we've become as entrepreneurs, the more money we've made, the more impact we've made. Mm. And if we do have a skills gap, we go and fix the fucking skills gap. Mm. We're not sitting there with the same skills gap every month being like, hey, we can't hire people for shit and we're really bad leaders. We'll obviously go and fix that straight away and then move to the next. But I think a lot of people just get stuck in their business because they haven't, like, put in the time to get the skills.
And I think that happens because when you first start, like, and I'm going to speak to, like, a kind of a seasoned entrepreneur here, but, like, if you're $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a month, right, you may have got there rather quickly. Like, this happened to me. Like, yeah. I had some innate natural skill that allowed me to get to $10,000 or $15,000 or $20,000 a month kind of almost accidentally, I would say. It would have seemed accidental to me at the time. And what happens is when you have a little bit of fast growth, so $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 a month quite quickly, is that your ego tells you you're really good at this.
Yeah.
And you start to develop this identity of being really good at business. But the problem is that when you tell yourself you're so good, you leave yourself nothing left to learn. Mm-hmm. And most people, I remember actually it was one of our mentors, Paul. Paul said to me one day, I had so much ego. I think it was about, at about $100,000. This was peak Steph bad ego. I had a really bad ego at about $100,000 a month. And I was sitting across from a mentor who was a billionaire, and he looked at me one day and said, "Steph, when was the last time you learned something?" And I was like, "Well, I don't have time to learn. Like, I'm running a $1 million company." Just so funny. And in hindsight, like, what a silly thing to say. Just to be really clear, we're on a multi-million-dollar company, and like, I study every week, but Tim studies every single day without fail. So just to be really clear, guys, like, you should never stop investing in your learning. But I sat across from him and I was like, "I haven't studied anything." He's like, "You have what we call arrested development. And the reason that you are stuck at the stage that you are stuck at, and the reason that we are even having this conversation, you've even hired me as a mentor, is because you are dedicating zero time to learning how to be a better leader, to learning how," which was my problem at the time, "to learning how to be a better entrepreneur, to learning how to solve your marketing problems." And I was actually at the time just trying to outsource everything. I was trying to band-aid solution. Like, if I just make a hire, they will fix it, rather than going and learning it myself and making sure that the hire that I hire is actually the right person to come in and do the job that I have created. And so I think that a lot of the time in entrepreneurship, people stop learning because their ego is telling them that they're already so good and that they've got nothing left to learn. And that is just the stupidest place that you could possibly be in entrepreneurship.
Yeah, it's crazy. Just a worked example, guys, this is not a flex, and I'm not saying this to like big myself up, but we recently signed up to a coaching program, and they have a training portal. The training portal is fucking huge, and I'm doing my best to get through it.
Yes.
So I've watched 62-hour presentations in the last 2.5 months, and obviously implemented everything in there from there. We've had people come into Success School, been in there for 2 years, and they haven't watched a single module, which, like, I know that everyone comes into things differently and they get different things out of it, and some people want coaching, but there is a massive skill level that comes with educating yourself, and people could be so much further ahead if they just, like, did the work and improved their skills. Steph, why do you think most people avoid developing the skills that move them up?
I think it's really easy to say that you don't have enough time.
Yeah.
Because
the queen of it.
Like, yeah, the queen of a time excuse, personally, even though I have ample amounts of time. I think that learning is difficult. Mm. Like, I don't have a learning difficulty necessarily, but I think it
maybe.
Is. Maybe. I do find learning to be difficult. I do find that sometimes when I sit down and I have to watch a training, I'm trying to take notes and I'm trying to, you know, install this into my mind. Then I'm also trying to, like, think about how we can install it into our business. And sometimes it can feel challenging to learn something. Like, when I had to learn about currency, when I realized I knew nothing about money, and in order to really make my relationship with money better, I had to first understand what money even was. Like, I didn't even know what fiat currency meant. So I had to really sit down and understand money. And we read some really dry books through that period about money. And sometimes I would read this page 10 times just trying to understand what is it even saying. It was challenging. Every part of me wanted to put that book down. But it's been no secret that since we've understood money, we've made a hell of a lot more of it. And so learning is not always going to be easy, and it's not always going to be fun, and it's not always going to be the most natural thing for you and your business. And so sometimes it's going to be challenging, and sometimes it's going to feel overwhelming, because it will make you feel stupid sometimes when you are learning something new and you realize how dumb you've been or how much you don't know. It will make you second guess, am I even good at this? But that spot right there, that gap between realizing that you actually have a lot to learn and having the resources in front of you to learn that, that is the gap that is going to make you infinitely more money, infinitely more impact, infinitely more growth in your business. And so I think that it's just uncomfortable and you have to lean into discomfort.
100%.
All right, let's dive into unpopular opinion number 4. This is that your biggest block is your own mindset. I'm going to say it again because you really need to hear this. This actually is the truth. Right now, for anybody listening, your biggest block is your own mindset. And you can get triggered and disagree with it all you want, but it's true. I was writing a post the other day around the different kinds of money blocks that you can have in an entrepreneurship and how they will, you know, basically ruin your business. And sometimes when our clients, you know, go to put up their prices, and every time they go to put up their prices, they just end up discounting back to the same price. So when they, you know, go to say the new price, the person says that's too expensive and they just discount it back down. And it's because what's actually underlying that is a fear of being rejected. It's a fear of not feeling worthy or worth it. It's a fear of not being seen as to be the nice girl or the nice person or, you know, the kind person, or to be seen as greedy. All of that is in your mind. None of that is true. And so the actual act of simply putting up your prices is completely undermined. It's a very simple thing to do. You just go from 2,000 to 3,000 and you just say that number. But everything that comes with increasing the price point is a mindset issue. And I think people just don't realize how much the narratives that they're running, their belief systems, their I feel dirty or greedy if I have money. I don't feel successful unless I'm earning a certain amount of money. No one will like me if I change and, you know, go all in on entrepreneurship. Or if I earn too much money, people will hate me. Or there's this kind of like, I don't feel worthy enough or good enough to charge that yet. All of these blocks are going to be the things that ultimately stop you from growing your business, hiring team members, charging the price that you actually need to charge to grow your company to the goals that you say that you want. And yet this is the most like, underworked on skill. Like people just aren't working on it.
No.
Like, talk me through why they avoid doing the mindset work.
I think it's easier to blame someone else or an external factor on why someone isn't successful or hasn't grown or like hasn't developed themselves rather than take ownership of it. And it's really easy just to like look for a scapegoat in these situations. I think like, you know, maybe society these days, we're just conditioned to obviously blame someone else for our issues rather than taking ownership for it. I know I've given a lot of stories today, but this is another story. And I want you guys listening to this right now just to reflect on this. I had a client of ours and they set up a VSL funnel and they spent $800 specifically and blamed me for it not working. And I had no recollection that this was even happening or they had gone through it. And it got me thinking, I was like, this is crazy that someone's own mindset would blame someone that doesn't even know that they were running this thing for it failing rather than taking ownership for its success. And it literally got me thinking about like the mindset of success. Like, how could you possibly blame someone else for your own business's lack of results versus you taking ownership of it? And like, I know that's a really long-winded way of talking about mindset, but it really got me thinking about the whole thing.
Yeah, totally. And like, I think in the past, I've probably been guilty of something like that.
Yeah.
You know, like when I had a mentor at the beginning, you know, didn't like do their tactics, it didn't work for me. And it's like, yeah, but maybe there was 100 reasons why it didn't work for
yeah.
me. Like not all businesses should run all tactics. Like if you're not good on video, you probably shouldn't go out and record a ton of VSLs. Like, you know, like maybe that's not the path for you, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, totally. It's so much of that comes down to mindset work.
Steph, why do you think mindset work feels so uncomfortable for a lot of people?
Mindset work is oftentimes subconscious work, which means that you are not consciously aware of what's playing out in your mind. So when you have to work on it, you're basically working on your self, your identity, the thing that you believe that you are. And when it's not working or it feels broken or it feels wrong or it feels like it needs, you know, attention because it's not working the optimal way, you immediately make that feel like that's a bad thing about you. Like I'm broken or, you know, I'm messed up or I have flaws. And it's really hard to accept that it's okay to say, yeah, my business has flaws. It's really clear what my business flaws are. Yes, my husband has flaws. This house has things that are wrong with it, right? But when it comes to saying that we have things wrong with us and things that we're not even aware of, it can just feel incredibly vulnerable. And I think people just avoid that deep vulnerability. I think most people don't want to look in the mirror and go, ah, that's pretty messed up. Like, I don't love that part of myself right now. I don't feel proud of that part of myself. And so instead of trying to find it so we can optimize it and work with it and bring it into the light and be something that we love and be something that we actually make a strength of ours, we just keep it in the dark and we keep it in the shadow and we hide it.
Yeah.
Because it's too uncomfortable to look at, you know?
I want to touch on shadows here. And I think it's like, might be relevant, might be unrelevant, but interesting conversation. Essentially, like the theory of shadows or shadow work, everyone has a shadow. You have a golden shadow, you have a negative shadow. But essentially, anything that you dislike about other people is a trait that you dislike about yourself, which is a bit of a mind bender. So I'll say it again. Anything that you dislike about someone else is something you dislike about yourself in one way or another when you display that trait. So I have a real fucking despise for lazy people. Like, I despise it because I despise myself when I am lazy. Okay. And that's a trait that I look for. I really despise when people don't give it all in business. And what do you think the opposite of that is? I despise myself when I don't give it all in business and give it 100%. So it's really like mindset is just this amazing complex world. And like, it's an onion, you peel back layers and you constantly learn more. But I think it's a great thing. If you're a business owner listening to this right now and your business is stuck, yes, it may be skills. We've touched on that. But, you know, mindset, once that is unlocked, everything else really unlocks for you. You can do all the strategy in the world, but if your mindset is an issue, you can have a really hard time growing. And our unpopular opinion number 5, in my opinion, this is the most important one. I think this is probably the hardest hitting. And that is, if your personal life is a mess, your business will be too. And we have coached, Steph has coached over 1,000 people in business. I've coached 600. I've coached, I would say, over 3,000 people in fitness. Same rules apply across the board for any niche, any demographic. But if your at-home life is awful, your business will be awful too. And what do I mean by that is like toxic relationship, crazy sleep times, eating bad food, really negative people or toxic people around you, just like situations that don't ever change. They always have a flow-on effect in business. If you're not actively trying to get these things as optimal as possible, then you're going to have a really hard time being successful in business. We've had people literally in success school self-combust their entire business because they were having a hard time in their personal life. And I don't mean that as a dig. Like, I get it, people have stuff going on and it's super unfortunate. But like I'm saying, guys, if you want to really be successful, getting your house in order first is the most important thing. You're never going to grow a successful business if your personal life is chaos. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you end up you just fuck it up.
Two things on this. One, get your house in order for sure, right? But that doesn't mean that life isn't going to come up and punch you in the face, okay? Like, you could have the most together house and still get sucker punched in the face.
Yeah.
But here's the difference between successful people and people who crumble when they get sucker punched in the face. Emotional regulation.
Mm-hmm.
So my dad died and it was awful. You were obviously there.
Yeah.
And it was a really shit time. Like, I found out while we were literally just boarding a plane and I couldn't get off that plane. So I just had to sit there on the plane with Tim and I just cried and cried and cried. And then we got to the airport and I cried at the airport and then we got to the hotel and I cried in the lobby and then I cried in the elevator and I cried in the bedroom and it was shit and it was awful. And the whole of the next day, it didn't matter where I went, I cried, I cried, I cried, I cried. And then do you know what we did that night? That night, the second night after my dad died, we had a webinar and I didn't cancel it. And I showed up to that webinar. And not because I'm some martyr or I'm some really big, strong person with like these really amazing, because we committed to doing it. And I knew that if I could get back to doing things that felt like me as soon as possible, this grief, I could live side by side with it, right? I'm not saying it's perfect or it's the right decision or that everybody needs to power through their grief or anything like that. And I've grieved and I continue to grieve and I continue to have days off where I just am a mess and I cry some nights at dinner at the table for no reason. And the thing is that life will happen. People will die. You will get sick. Cars will crash. Shit happens.
Clients will leave.
Yes. Oh, my God.
You get a shitty email. You're not the first person in the world to get an angry
email. Yeah. Like, you're going to be disappointed with your spouse. Like, things will happen. But your ability to emotionally regulate, to be able to go, okay. And I'm not to say that, like, it's a really different situation. Like, I knew my dad was dying, so, like, it wasn't, you know, like, super, you know, it wasn't, like, sudden. But the ultimate point is that,
I mean, it was kind of sudden.
It was fairly sudden. Yeah, it was. But I think that if you can learn to have an emotion but not let it just spiral you down, to control these thoughts, which goes back to the mindset work.
Yeah.
We've done so much work that when we start to spiral, first of all, we catch each other and one supports the other to not spiral. But second of all, we would catch ourselves.
Yeah.
There's only so long that I would let myself wallow in self-pity or pain before I was like, girl, this is not a helpful frame. We need to move out of this. Have your cry and like put your shoes on and like let's get out the door and let's do some stuff, right?
Yeah.
And I think that so many people just don't have the emotional regulation. So when shit does hit the fan in their lives, they just don't have the resources, the tools or the tool belt to survive it. And so their business crumbles because their life is crumbling.
Yeah.
Which takes you back to point four, which is do the fucking mindset work.
Yeah.
Like, it will literally save your life in so many ways.
We've literally seen people get like a physical injury, like sprained ankle, and they take like 2 weeks off their business.
People's dogs die.
It's fucking crazy.
People's dogs die and they take 5 months off. And like we are dog people. Like get it, dude. Yeah, like we get it more than anybody. Like we've lost dogs. It's the worst thing ever. But you don't let your life spiral, you know? Like you can't let your life spiral. Like there's too much at risk. There's too much at stake. Like you have to learn how to, you know, pull it together.
All right, guys. If you got some value from that episode, please subscribe. That was great. Super enjoyed it. If you guys are on YouTube, hit that subscribe button wherever you're at. As always, guys, if you have any questions or anything you'd like us to cover, send us a message on Instagram at RealTimFrey and at Steph Gorton 2_. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.